Well, good morning. I had thought that playing the bass, being up on stage would make me less nervous. Don't try that because it doesn't work. I also thought being an introvert, I would just deliver you the world's shortest sermon. Are you ready? Right, here we go. Sin is bad. Don't do it. Jesus loves you. Have a good morning. No, I'm just kidding. Actually, I was searching around on my computer at home, and I came across one of the old sermons that I did at my other church, and it was titled Unity in Transition. And I thought, wow, it's God's will, you know, that I about to preach a sermon. We're going through a transition, and here I am being able to serve God by delivering a sermon. But God didn't let me do that. So because we were in an in-between pastor state. We're in the same situation that we are today. Except today, we're not really in an in-between pastor state. We went from a pastor to four pastors, which is pretty much unprecedented in most Baptist churches. It's pretty amazing. Yeah. And we're willing to follow God's will in that, and I think that's amazing. That's part of the reason I'm here at this church, as a matter of fact. So that being said, I've listened to my pastors for the past 2 weeks, and there's not a lot of room on a podium, so I have papers flying everywhere. I've listened to my pastors for the past 2 weeks, and I asked God to lead me in something that will benefit all of us, and I include myself in that. And I actually just sat down to prepare this sermon Thursday, and because I really wanted to hear all of what I could hear of my pastors before I decided to deliver a sermon. And just to show you the hearts of Pastor Josh and Pastor Eddie, when I told them Wednesday that I wasn't fully prepared, you should have saw the look on their faces. Like, deer in the headlights, like, oh my gosh, I can't believe you. They're like, you know this is Wednesday, right? I'm like, yeah, I know that. So, that being said, you may not want to focus too much on the delivery of the message, but maybe just the message itself. So we are going to open up to John 15, 1 through 11. And this is the major scripture I'm going to be preaching from today. If you want to get there in your Bible. Actually, I think your notes probably say 1 through 17. That's incorrect. By all means, read that if you want. But that's not what we're going to be covering. As a matter of fact, I just really love this bit of scripture, and I actually am not going to have time to expound on the whole thing, only bits and pieces of it, but I think it's fitting that we read it. Before I read it, I'd like to say a word of prayer. Father God, thank you for bringing us here together in your house with your people. God, I thank you for the opportunity to serve you. I pray that you will be glorified, that I can hide behind your cross, and all the words that are said are your words and not my own. And I ask that you will just guide us today. Lord, I ask for you to guide every heart here, the ones that know you, to draw nearer to you, and the ones that don't, Lord. Oh, God, that you could just save them today. I just thank you for the mighty, how awesome you are and how mighty you are, and for what you're going to do today. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. All right, so I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it might bear more fruit. Already you're clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Sorry, guys, I'm reading from the slide. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine and you are the branches, and whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. And if you abide in me and my words abide in you. Ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love, and if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. So first, let's talk a little bit about abiding. What does it mean to abide? To abide means to accept or act in accordance with something, to live with something, knowing it to be true. I would describe it as a continual living in the understanding of who Christ is. Now, Jesus says here that he is the vine, God is the vine dresser, and he uses the language of a vine, right? The source of life, right? And the vine dresser, who is the creator God. And the branches with the fruit. Who is that? It's us, right? It doesn't take much imagination to understand what he's saying here. Every branch that does not bear fruit, the vine dresser takes away. But the ones that do bear fruit, he takes care to prune. And before we get into the fruit and the taking away and pruning, which I'm not going to get much into pruning, that's a whole other sermon, I think. Let's establish something that can be hard to discuss. I really didn't want to bring this message my first time out because it's a hard thing to talk about, but the Lord has pressed me to do it. So there are those who believe themselves to be in the faith who are not, right? These are the ones that Jesus says his Father will take away. And he uses harsher language than I just use, right? In his day, in the day of Jesus, when he was teaching, there were Pharisees, and they were highly religious men, and they had a whole lot of knowledge. But they didn't have a true understanding of who Christ said that he is. And I have no doubt that there are men such as that today. People with a lot of knowledge, a lot of Bible knowledge, but do not know or understand who Christ is. But the burden that falls on my heart is for the lost who believe themselves to be saved. Amen. Who are they that are lost but believe themselves to be saved? First, let me establish two things. Don't throw rocks at me, please. You won't find anywhere in God's word where people were led to believe that they were saved because they repeated a prayer after a man who then declared them to be saved. You won't find it. Do you not know the heart of people? Let's see what God says about the heart of people. Genesis 6:5, the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart were evil continually. That's us. So the only one that does know the heart is the Lord. Even us. Even me, I have said things like, I'm going to do this, or I will never do that, and yet what did I do? I did the very things that I said I wouldn't do, and I didn't do the things I said I would do. Have you all ever been there? Don't fully trust the things that come out of even your own mouth. God knows the heart. You don't even know your own heart. Slide. Sorry, technical difficulties. Matthew 15:8 says that this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. What does that say? Exactly what I just said, right? Honor, you can honor God with your lips, but your heart not be anywhere near him. And there are many that will tell you they believe in God, but the evidence in their lives says nothing but otherwise. There are those who seem like good people and they do a lot of things for others, and yet they do not know Christ. There is only one that can declare salvation upon any person, and that is not Josh or Eddie or Doug or Pastor Brian or any other man or person. It is Christ alone. Christ alone. How then can we determine salvation? How can we figure that out? Christ says that those that abide in me will bear fruit. What is this fruit that he speaks of? We can't declare a person saved or unsaved unless we spend time with them and we begin to see the fruit in their life. Right? You can't just declare somebody saved. You have to see the fruit, because that's the way Jesus says you determine it. In Galatians 5:22 through 23, but the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, not fruits, it's not plural. This is evidence of knowing of Christ, of following Christ. It is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those that have the Spirit, those that know Christ, will begin to display this fruit. It may not be all at once, right? Sanctification process that we go through. But along with that, you'll start to have this new relationship that you didn't have before. And it also means a new relationship with sin, right? The things God hates, you once loved because your heart was evil, right? And you made excuses for those things, and you self-justified those things. And now you begin to love Christ, and you hate sin. You pray to him. You seek him. You desire to have him in your life. You desire to be around his people. You desire to be in his word. This is a new desire that you did not have before salvation, right? You begin to be in agreement with God on what sin is, right? And you have a repentant heart. Though you might still fall into sin, you have never been called to perfection because God knows you can't be perfect. You've been called to follow him, as Eddie was saying, say yes, Lord, right? That's what you're called to. It is not as if the Lord needs anything from you. He doesn't need you. He doesn't need your money. He doesn't need your time. He is God. He doesn't need anything from us. He desires us to draw near to him. He wants us. And he does not want to be a life enhancement. He doesn't want to be an add-on to your life. There's a hymnal. Some of you younger people might not know this, but it says, I have decided to follow Jesus. Have you heard that? Well, some people live like Jesus has decided to follow them and just be there, you know, kind of whenever I need something, right? That's not his desire. That's not what he wants. He wants to be your life. He doesn't want to be a part of your life. He does not want to be an add-on to your life. Paul himself says in 2 Corinthians 13:5, examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Or do you not realize this about yourself, that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless indeed you fail to meet the test. So with that said, let me ask you, what's your motivation? Why are you here this morning? When you go to work, what pushes you on to do good work? What is the motivation of your heart? Have you examined your life and to look, to test yourself, to see where you stand in Christ? Is he your life or is he an add-on? Do you test yourself? And do you pass that test? Having an encounter with the living God and walking away unchanged is the equivalent of going out on a highway, getting ran over by an 18-wheeler, and walking away as if nothing happened. It's just not a reality. It's not possible. It can't happen. So, brothers and sisters, you heard the message from Eddie to follow Jesus and to say yes, even if it's a hard thing to do. You've heard from Doug about Jonah. Don't tell God you won't, because you will, even if it's the hard way. That is why I had to deliver today what I thought was a hard message. I wouldn't tell God no. So I'm going to ask you, have you ever thought about these things? Are you questioning your faith a little bit? It's okay, because in your questioning, either Christ will be found or he will not. Now I ask you today, do you believe in your heart that Christ was crucified and buried in the tomb, and on the third day, when visitors went to that tomb, he was not to be found? Do you believe that? Do you believe that he rose again? Do you believe that he conquered sin and defeated death on your behalf? Do you repent of your sin and live in this new relationship with Christ? Do you give your life to him? Not as an add-on, but is he your life? Matthew 16:24-25 says, "Then Jesus told his disciples, 'If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life and will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it.'" So, do you believe that? Or do you believe that you got your golden ticket to heaven? And now you can continue to live in your pride and your greed and your arrogance and your addictions and your unforgiveness and all manner of other sins and self-justify it and be okay with it. That's not faith. That's lip service. That's not Christ. You need to test your heart. You need to test your heart. I'd like to have the worship team come back up. That is all I have to offer you today. And I think that's enough to chew on for a while. And so I'm asking you to seriously consider your heart. Consider your motivation. Consider who is Christ in your life. Is he an add-on to enhance your life, to help you to have a self-improvement? Or is he your life? Do you know him? Do you know him? Do you walk with him? Do you talk with him? Do you feel the power of his presence in your heart? Because if you do not, then you do not know him. You do not know him.